Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and set us in the way of his steps. Dear Heavenly Father, today we come and we look at your words and realize that we have been set free from the bondage of sin. We have been given eternal life. We have been given a free gift that by faith, all we have to do is accept it. Because there is nothing else we can do with it, Lord. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. We can't merit it in any way. But you have chosen to give us salvation. You have chosen to release us from the bondage of our sin. You have chosen to give us the opportunity to turn from our wicked ways and to come to you, seeing that mercy and righteousness. Lord, we come recognizing the high cost of that free gift, the high cost of the blood of Christ shed on our behalf, the one who made us going through the most miserable death of all time to pay the penalty for our sins. Lord, let us always be vigilant. Let us always be working to make ourselves holy. Let us always be working to tell others about that great gift. And let us do everything we can to put our focus on the man who shed his blood, that we may be called the sons of God. We ask it all in your precious sons, their name. Amen. Israel had failed God. Look at the Old Testament. It's a pure history of failure. They had failed God. They had been sent to Babylon. They had been sent to Assyria. Now, God was bringing them back. The author remembered the glory of God and his salvation. Recalling his greatness, he calls Israel to do the same thing and follow him in righteousness, that by faith they will receive the blessings of their God. Israel had chosen idols, forgetting the God of history who had shown himself so powerful. Look at it. You sit there and you wonder, how could they possibly think that anything else but God would have any power? Did they not see the Red Sea split? Did they not see the Jordan River split? Did they not see all these great things? And yet they turned their back on the God that had saved them. But at the same time, being powerful, he showed his salvation was still nigh to them that fear him. Return to him. Remember your history. Remember your history and repent, and he will accept you. Leave the dependence of idols and freely serve the God who has given himself to bless you. We have failed God in the same way in this country. We have forgotten our history and the history of all fallen empires. If we fail to remember history, we are destined to repeat it. Alexander Tyler in 1787 pointed out our future that we now do see as history. It says this, "The average age of the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning of history has been about 200 years. During those 200 years, these nations have always progressed through the following sequence. From bondage to spiritual faith. From spiritual faith to great courage. From courage to liberty. From liberty to abundance. From abundance to complacency. From complacency to apathy. From apathy to dependence. From dependence back into bondage." Today we in America have entered into dependence on the government, and we are about to return to worldly bondage. We will either remember the past to strengthen our future or forget the high cost of the blood shed on our behalf to purchase our freedom and go right back into the dustbin of history with all the other fallen nations that have decided to let someone else live their lives. The blood of our brave soldiers will be wasted upon our selfishness. In the same way, if we forget the high cost of the blood of Christ purchasing our eternal spiritual freedom, we will forget what manner of men we were, and we will return to our selfish, worldly ways. We see it in the Bible all the way through it. No, we are no different than Adam. We are no different from Israel. We are no different from anybody else. If we tend to put our focus on ourselves, we will fall into the same selfish traps that they fell into and forget the God that purchased us. We'll instead choose to chase the baubles of Satan's world and willingly return to the bondage of the Egypt that we were saved from. Claiming the benefits of Christ, but counting it as common as we chase the supposed benefits of the former dictator that we were escaped from, Satan, and look to the benefits of satisfying the flesh and think that is something that we deserve because God saved us. We need to turn back from this, and we need to realize exactly what we're doing. The high cost of freedom can only be maintained by eternal vigilance. The high cost of freedom can only be maintained by keeping our focus on God and serving the God that has saved us. On this Memorial Day, to maintain the glory of His kingdom, we must do three things. First of all, we need to get freedom. Second, keep freedom. And then finally, proclaim freedom. Now, to get freedom, just as the blood of soldiers purchased our freedom from worldly bondage, the blood of Christ purchased our salvation, which freed us from the bondage of Satan's kingdom. His kingdom, the church, is a spiritual kingdom. Sin is banished. It must be cleansed from everybody. Now, how is it cleansed? Hebrews 9:22 says this, "And almost all things are, by the law, purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." This country was established on the blood of brave soldiers. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, is only established by the blood of Jesus Christ shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. With no remission, sin still sticks to us. With sin upon us, we cannot enter His kingdom. Hebrews 10:4 says the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. The willing laying down of life to save man from bondage had to be by a man to pay man's penalty. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 13 to 19. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 13, shows exactly this. "From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." I am now able to be a citizen of heaven. I am now a child of the Most High God. I am now a joint heir of Jesus Christ. I need to live exactly like that. I need to realize what my past was, and I need to go forth with that. To do that, I need to realize that's the blood of Christ that did it. Without the blood of Christ, I am banished from the Holy of Holies. Now, to obtain freedom in the United States of America, you need to live in the United States of America. Moving to it if you don't live there. Obtaining the freedom of the shed blood of soldiers by your choice. Leaving whatever supposed benefits of the bondage that you had from any other country. Now, in the same way, to obtain Christ's freedom, you need to move to that kingdom. Accepting the sacrifice of His blood as the only way to save you from the bondage of sin, giving you citizenship in God's spiritual kingdom. Repenting of your old life in service of Satan by your sins, putting them behind you, and leaving that worldly kingdom to serve Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in His spiritual kingdom. Always focusing on that sacrifice, always remembering that sacrifice, so that you can give yourself as a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ. How do you obtain that citizenship? Well, the end of what's commonly called the Romans Road shows exactly how to do that. Turn to Hebrews 10, 9 through 13. Romans 10, 9 through 13, excuse me. Oh, Hebrews is good verses too, but the Romans works better here. So, Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, quick little side note there. If you believe that God raised him from the dead, something had to happen first. He had to die. He needed to die your death. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This puts you on the first step of Tyler's list. You've gone from bondage, the bondage of Satan, to spiritual faith in Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and your sovereign King. Honoring the blood of one man to purchase your freedom, become his citizen, to improve his kingdom, becoming more holy as he is holy. Now you work with courage to perfect liberty in Christ as you enjoy his abundance. Do live an abundant life. He has promised us an abundant life. With that abundant life, we need to remember how we got it and praise him for it, serve him. You work to keep his joy and service, putting his kingdom over your worldly desires because you are serving something greater than yourself. So that's getting freedom. Well, it's very easy to get selfish again. It's very easy to turn back to your old worldly ways. So we need to keep freedom at the same time. United States today, we are in critical need of Memorial Day, putting our focus back on the high cost of freedom. As verse 4 says, turn us, O God. Living in abundance in this country, we no longer focus on spiritual needs. We only focus on the rewards, thinking that the abundance is an end of itself and not a blessing of God for serving him. We deserve the abundance, right? That's what you hear all over the place. We serve self as there's nothing else greater in our own eyes. Memorial Day brings God's revival that he asked for in verse 6 because it puts our focus back where it needs to be, putting our minds to something greater than ourselves, remembering the high cost of the freedom we have, both in this country and in our salvation. We have become fully dependent in this country. We're about to return to bondage, asking for leeks, cucumbers, and the slavery of Egypt instead of working hard to obtain the promised land first of all, this country gave us, and second of all, God gave us. Now think of John F. Kennedy's words. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Today's Democratic Party instead counts success as how many government checks can be written out to people. And guess what? The Republican Party is no better. God blesses us and has made us the richest country since Solomon's Israel. Our abundance has made us complacent. Our blessings make us assume that the world will always get better. Now, that's what we've always been taught. No, the world's going to be better for my kids than it was for me. And it's just going to keep going that way. Why? Because we're Americans. No, it's not because we're Americans. It's because we follow an ideal set established by God and follow what God established in our constitutions. Well, with this idea that things will always get better, and that's the only thing that can happen because we're Americans, we have become apathetic. Becoming apathetic, we're now dependent. We don't believe anymore that we have the right to pursue happiness. We believe we have the right to happiness, and the government must provide it. And if I'm not happy, well, then I need to go and yell a little bit more at the congressman so he can make me happy. Willing to suffer bondage if the government would just give me a couple leeks and cucumbers. If I'm happy for the moment, what else do I need? We don't look to the future at all anymore. We're fully dependent on the government for our day-to-day needs. Memorial Day used to be a solemn occasion to honor the fallen. Now it's a day off from the work because we deserve it. To keep our freedom, we must return to personal responsibility and not only just demand our rights. Our churches have also grown large, rich, and self-focused. We have forgotten the high cost of our free gift, and we think that we deserve the blessings that God's given us. How many here deserve anything? How many here deserve the blessings that God's given us? I see the exact amount of hands I should. We deserve absolutely nothing. All good gifts come from above. We are given them because he loves us so much, and it's based on the blood of Christ, the most high cost of any gift ever. God has given us a formerly faithful country, and he's given us rest, and we have become complacent because of it. Complacent? We assume God has blessed us for our worth and will value, and now are apathetic in our worship, demanding entertainment, bread, and circuses, just like they did in Rome. Apathetic, people now look to Christ not to worship him, but only come for their own rights and needs in this world. Now dependent with no spiritual strength, people only come to church for health, wealth, and benefits that they actually think they deserve. Just like the country today, Christ shed his blood that we may get stuff. That's pretty much what they believe. To keep a freedom in a church, we must remember not the blessings, but the blesser himself, the Jesus Christ who gave us all, who for his own glory saved us, for his own glory has given us abundance, for his own glory has established this church to serve him. Staying courageous and honoring Jesus Christ in everything we do. We'll celebrate the Lord's table this afternoon to remember and honor the sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave on our behalf, avoiding the trap of physical dependence in a spiritual kingdom by having the proper focus on Jesus Christ, the high cost of the blood shed on our behalf. We do enjoy the benefits of his kingdom. We have an abundant life, but we serve a cause far greater than ourselves, and we worship the giver of the kingdom purchased by the blood shed on our behalf. If we do that, we'll enjoy the abundance he's given us, and we'll give God thanks for everything, not thinking we deserve it, because we don't, but accepting that free gift and serving him more as a spiritual sacrifice as we move forward. We are saved by the blood of Christ, kept by the blood of Christ, cleansed by the blood of Christ. Let us be living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service, and we will keep the freedom he's given us and be able to walk into the Bema seat and hear those great and glorious words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and now into the rest of the joy of the Lord. So after that, we have all this. We need to proclaim freedom. Our country is a nation of laws, controlled by our founding document, the Constitution. Anyone think that we follow the Constitution in almost anything we do anymore? Nancy Pelosi actually laughed when someone asked, "Where in the Constitution do you see the right for Obamacare?" She literally laughed. What do we need that for? I'm just going to give you things you want. We are ignoring this founding document to our detriment. We see the results. Men died, shedding their blood to protect the Constitution modern society now ignores, wasting their sacrifices. Well, you know what? Far worse than the church. The church is based on our founding document. That's our founding document right here. That's what the church is based on. The modern church now ignores it to their detriment. How many people have heard saying that God still speaks today? God still speaks today is code for this no longer applies. We have further truths today. No, that's just like the Constitution's living document. It's not. It was written by founding fathers to be followed the way they intended. This was written by our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is intended to be followed as it was written. We must proclaim the truth loud and clear to honor the one who shed his blood to establish and protect his church by his word, the Holy Bible. As 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." I'll tell you right now, we are in a nuclear winter out of season. But we still need to proclaim his word for those who will hear it. There's always a remnant. God can still send revival. He can still turn us, as the psalmist asked to. But we have to proclaim his word loud and clear and not rely on our own understanding. To hold on to our freedom, we must ignore those who desire to return to the bondage of Satan and move forward to his promised land by his way, his truth, and his life. Even if it causes the world that rejected Christ to spill our blood in his service. His blood has been shed. His blood establishes the spiritual kingdom forever, but we still live in his physical kingdom. If we have to shed our blood in his physical kingdom to proclaim his word, praise God. We'll have a better resurrection in the spiritual kingdom. Freedom in eternity for exchange of a little bit of loss in this world is the best trade you can ever have. Even if the world completely ignores Christ, we still contend for the faith. Turn to Jude chapter 1, verse 3. It's only one chapter in Jude, but Jude is a very short book. Not talked about a whole lot in churches, but boy, it is a deep, heavy book with a whole lot into it. Verse 3. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Not delivered to the ones that say God is still talking. Not delivered to the new apostles. Delivered once to the saints. those who wrote this book. That is the faith we contend for. And if people want to deny it, we point it right back to the Bible. If they want to continue denying it, well, we dust our sandals off and move forward. But for those who will hear it, those will be saved by his word and will then come to the faith of Jesus Christ, and we will see them in eternity. Now, why do we do it? Verse 4 says this. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. If we do not contend for the faith and remember sacrifices, those denying or ignoring it will draw man back to the same bondage Israel faced in the Babylonian captivity. They will follow those people because they boldly proclaim their lies. If they boldly proclaim their lies, we must boldly proclaim the truth. The truth will set them free. The lies will turn them into bondage. And God will use us proclaiming his truth in great and mighty ways, even if it doesn't seem so at the time. We must not judge our eternal freedom based on present circumstances and base our current abundance to determine what is right or wrong. I have much more than I need in my house. Much more. I don't have to worry about a lot of the things they talk about. God must be blessing me, right? No, I just happen to have a lot of stuff. That's all it means. God will bless me based on spiritual things. We don't base the fact that this country is rich right now to say that we're doing right by God. We base it based on his word right here. We must look to Christ and him crucified. We must learn to follow him by his word given to us. And Proverbs 22:28 says, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. Here's the ancient landmark right here. You don't remove it. God is still speaking, but it's through this book, this word. If there's one jot or one tittle that is denied in this word, God is not speaking through it. Someone else is. And he's calling you back to the bondage of the world. Care not what the world thinks? Proclaim his word from the housetops. The world may persecute you and hate you. The world may even martyr you. What did it do to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You expect a better outcome for yourself as his servant? The United States of America will rise and fall based on how it focuses on the Constitution. The exact same thing is true with the church. If we proclaim the truth, he'll be glorified, and Berea will be rewarded for our faith, being good and faithful servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we forget his truth and follow the way of the world in the church and serve Jesus only for the benefits we think we deserve, thinking he only died to give us stuff, do this, he will remove his candlestick and will be judged on how we did not serve him based on the grace that he gave us. Matthew 6:33 tells us exactly what we should do. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He saved us by his blood shed, giving us the victory, giving us eternal life, giving us a mansion that he's building for me right now in heaven on a street of gold. My address up there will be based on what I do in service to him. But we have that promised us. It is going to be ours if we accept that blood. Let us accept it as our propitiation, proclaim it to the world, and serve him, willing even to shed our own blood if needed, as willing sacrifices of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this Memorial Day, we honor all those fallen for our freedom. Men who shed blood have given me the freedom to preach of the God who shed his blood that I may be saved. Men raised by God to defend the nation that he gave us to worship him. We're throwing it away in this country. Do not throw it away in the church. If we decide to turn our backs on the Constitution, on the God that established this nation, the nation will be judged. Don't be judged with the nation. Stay true. Proclaim the truth. Remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave us. Remember the blood shed on your behalf, and then serve him based on that. Let us honor the God who shed the blood. Let us remember his sacrifice and focus on that service. Now, with his reconciliation, verse 10 on today's psalm says, mercy, truth, righteousness, and peace have met and kissed each other. This is something impossible in human governments. It cannot happen. Punishment for crime lacks mercy. But mercy, if you show too much mercy, you deny justice and righteousness. God was able to do all those. I'm not going to get what I deserve. I'm not going to get what my sin deserves. I'm going to get, instead, mercy and righteousness from God. He brought all those together with Jesus at the cross. Justice was served. Justice was served as every single sin that is committed in this church and in the entire world has already been paid for. The propitiation has been made. The penalty has been made. All we have to do is accept the fact that that is true and our pardon is received. So justice is served. Mercy is given us by faith in the sacrifice because that justice was satisfied. Truth and righteousness now lead us in love. Isaiah 53, 5 through 6 says that he was wounded for our iniquities, and the chastisement of his peace was laid upon us all, upon him, excuse me. By his stripes we are healed. By his shed blood, the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of every single one of us here. Every single crime, every single sin, everything you've done to fall short of the glory of God has been paid for. The justice is complete. His willing sacrifice has given us eternal life and freedom. Let us not forget that. We focus on Memorial Day of Jesus as we see his mercy, truths, righteousness, and peace have kissed each other. By his great wisdom and power, God has mercy on poor sinners, is at peace with us in his truth and righteousness. See, human governments cannot do that. Only God, through Jesus Christ, could possibly do that. Such love, such grace, such mercy. We must remember this every second of every day. I forget quite often. In my flesh, I do forget. That's why he gave us the communion table. That's why he gave us the ability to remember those things. We need to do that. Communion is a glorious thing. We're looking at it, we realize my sins are paid for. But we realize the very high cost. And the fact that I put him on that cross, the fact that those tears he shed were from me, the fact that those whip marks on his back were from my sins. And we remember that, and that's why we serve him with such love, realizing the blood that he shed on my behalf that he didn't have to and I did not deserve. Verse 8 shows the author would only speak what God would give him so as not to return to folly. We have a lot of folly in our churches today. God is not still speaking apart from the Bible. God only speaks through his Bible. When you see the rainbow flag and say God still speaks today, that's a damnable heresy. He's not proclaiming that he now accepts certain sins because a modern society understands it. If it's not in here, we've removed the landmark, and we'll pay for it. Let us not return to that folly, but let us stay true. Let us continue to remember our Christ, him crucified, to remember why our Christ deserves all praise, honor, and glory from us. Courageously living in his loving abundance and not following those who would focus on our own desires and go back to the leeks, cucumbers, and bondage of Egypt, an apathetic preferring Satan's slavery and bondage over the freedom of Jesus Christ. Let us let freedom ring. Let us have his great gift memorialized, and let's proclaim it to a world that is stuck in Satan's bondage. With that, we need to realize that we're saved by the blood, so turn to hymn number 363. It's easy to complain in this world. Things don't always go well. It's a fallen world. They're not going to go well, especially if Satan has anything to say about it. But you know what it says right there? Great price of my pardon, his own precious son, saved by the blood of the crucified one. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what our needs are. He will bring us through any trials, but we have to have faith in him. And we have to realize that some of the trials are there for our benefit, to strengthen us. And we need to make sure that no matter what happens, we give God thanks in all things, as it says in Thessalonians. Doing that, we will stay abundant. We will stay with the right focus. We will stay in his courageous service. Let us continue to do that. Let us remember that sacrifice today. Let us remember that sacrifice going forth. And every time we think about complaining, think about what he did on the cross for you and realize you have nothing to complain about and there is nothing that he can ask you to do that you can refuse. With that, let us be ready to pray. Ask God to... First of all, if you're not sure you're saved, ask God to comfort your heart. Come talk to me. Come talk to someone else. We'll show you exactly how to be saved. Then thank him for that great gift. Ask forgiveness if you've wasted that gift by complaining, by refusing, or something like that. Then ask him how to serve him in spirit and truth in the future. And after Jeannie plays a verse, I'll close this in prayer.
Heavenly Father, on this Memorial Day, we know there's going to be wars, rumors of wars, and it's going to get worse, not better. Lord, we're thankful for those who stand in the gap. We're thankful for those who have shed their blood to keep us free in this country. We're thankful for the fact that soldiers are willing to put themselves in harm's way to make it so that the rest of us can enjoy the fruits of their sacrifice. And Lord, I pray that you'd comfort their families. Comfort the families of those who are fallen in the war. Protect those soldiers out in the battlefields, Lord, and show them that you are strong on their behalf and working on their behalf. At the same time, Lord, we see the blood of the crucified one. We see that Jesus Christ has shed his blood to pay the penalty for every single one of us, that mercy and justice can completely come together, that righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And Lord, that is only possible through the reconciling power of the blood of Jesus. And Lord, let us always remember that great sacrifice, the great sacrifice of him having to die on a cross in such a horrible death, showing the cost of my sin, showing the cost of everyone's sin here. And let us, Lord, move forward with that understanding, realizing the great cost, realizing that because of it, we are now citizens of the Most High God, sons of him and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. And let us act like it. Let us proclaim that truth in the mountaintops. Let us ensure everyone knows exactly that that kingdom is coming and that they can join it, but they have to do it through your word. And let us once again, Lord, always focus on that sacrifice. We ask in your precious son's dear name. Amen.